Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas, on Sunday, August the 21st, and welcome to our commentary. You know, as we like to do on Sundays, we go back and we look at some of my American Thinker postings from the week. I post over at the American Thinker almost on a daily basis. I've been doing it for, my gosh, I think up to 10 years. And it's been a lot of fun and a great deal of pride to be associated with such a wonderful website like American Thinker. So you can follow me there. All you got to do is go to AmericanThinker.com and you will see the postings. They have tremendous writers, tremendous contributors. And I just put some little notes there on the right-hand side, usually a short post, usually a reaction to an event in the news. That's what my postings are usually about. But they've got some great writers. If you follow American Thinker every day, you're going to be a lot better informed than if you're not following American Thinker every day. It's just a great conservative website, but a very serious conservative website as well. Well, let's take a look at some of my postings during the week. On Monday, we began with a story about what is happening down in Tijuana, Mexico. Tijuana, Mexico is across the border from San Diego, for those of you who are familiar with that part of the country. And it's been a relatively peaceful city, really, for quite some time. I guess being next to San Diego creates a commercial, it's almost like twin cities when it comes to commerce and everything else. So it's been a relatively nice area of Mexico to live and to work. But over the last couple of weeks, there has been a great deal of violence in Tijuana and many of the small towns around Tijuana in what is known as Baja California, which is that province or that state in Mexico, a very popular, by the way, destination for American tourists. And the violence has been basically aimed at taxis, at public vehicles, at gas stations, and many, many, many things like that before. And I tell you, it's scary. It got to the point where they literally shut down the city. And the government had to send in literally the army to bring order back in the streets. It's a little bit better now than it was a week ago, but just the threat that, you know, a criminal element can do that can put the fear of God in many, many people. And I, just from reading the accounts and following the news there, a lot of people have chosen not to go out. And a lot of businesses, particularly small businesses, are still closed for fear of violence. Now, why is this happening? Why is this happening in Tijuana, Mexico? Well, it's a complicated set of reasons, of course, but primarily two, I think. Number one, I think the cartels are delivering a message and the criminal elements are delivering a message to the government that they can do this and get away with it. I think that's reason number one. And number two, and I think this is also a big reason, they are fighting for territory. Now, this is something we've seen before in Colombia and in other parts of Mexico. We see it in Chicago every weekend. It's not just, you know, it's happening in the United States, too, every weekend in Chicago, where you see criminal elements fighting each other for territory. Well, that's kind of what's happening down there. But the bottom line is that our border policy or our lack of a border policy here in the United States is not helping. It's not helping because we are, by not doing anything, by not controlling our border, we're encouraging this kind of criminal activity and violence on the border. So that was on Monday when we talked about what's happening down in Tijuana. On Tuesday, we went to Afghanistan. You know, it's been a year since we had this crazy withdrawal from Afghanistan. And a lot of people like me were very concerned when it happened because it didn't have to happen. We didn't have to get out this way. But we did. We left, I just read that we left behind $7 billion of military equipment. How is that for just giving away $7 billion? I wonder if there was anything declassified or classified in the stuff that we left behind. I bet there was some. It's hard to believe that you would leave all that stuff behind and not leave maybe some manuals and some information that could really be bad in the hands of some of the bad people. But the single greatest casualty of our departure from Afghanistan and this is what my article was about, was what has happened to young women in Afghanistan. You know, young women, when we were there, were at least able to go to school and able to get an education. That's not happening right now. The Taliban is now going back to its old ways when it comes to women. And women are really feeling the repression, once again, of that way of life. And that, I think, is criminal, what was done to those young women that we, in a sense, encouraged to go to school. Well, they're now really feeling the terrible consequence of being left behind. So that was our post on Tuesday, Afghanistan going back to their old ways. On Wednesday, I wrote a post called "The Incredible Shrinking Merrick Garland, the Attorney General." This man is shrinking. He gets smaller and smaller every day. You know, we saw him on TV a couple of weeks ago giving a pretty pathetic explanation of why they went into President Trump's home. Look, if you're going to do something of this nature, and let me just point out that I think we need to be fair about this, there may be a good reason to do this. I don't see it, but they may think there is. And if they think there is, they better explain it to the American people in detail. You don't go into a former president's home without a very good reason, without having some evidence that something very, very serious has been done. The reality is that, yes, we've had this presidential documents legislation since 1978. That's true, we have. But the reality is that it was never really enforced in an aggressive fashion. It was generally negotiated with the president, and that's what should have happened here. They should have sat down with President Trump. They were talking to President Trump as of late June, so I don't know why the urgency all of a sudden. And I just think they've made a very big mistake in going in, and the Attorney General is the face of this. And you can tell that this is a problem because the White House is not standing behind the Attorney General. They're keeping a distance from the Attorney General because I think the White House knows what a mess this is to go into a former president's home. So, you know, we're still waiting for an explanation. I guess we're going to get part of the affidavit next week, but it's all going to be, you know, it's all going to be redacted. We're not going to be able to really see anything. And we understand that President Trump is going to be doing something next week. Specifically what, I don't know. I think he's going to be suing under the Fourth Amendment. And let's see where that goes. I mean, I think he's got a good case, but let's see how they present their case. But the bottom line is, and that's what my article was about, this is a shrinking man. This is a politician shrinking every single moment because he's not explaining to the American people why we had to do something as radical as this. And that's not good. That is simply not good. Well, on Thursday, I'm getting a little confused here. I've got my list upside down. But on Thursday, we wrote about what was happening in the state of Alabama, where there was a young guy in the state of Alabama who wanted to apply to a sorority. Now, as you know, sororities are for girls, at least generally, and he wanted to apply for a position in a sorority or membership in a sorority, and the girls in Alabama said, no, we're not going to let you apply because you're not a girl, you're a guy. And look, I sympathize completely here with the young women who made this decision, because when you're in a sorority, obviously I've never been in a sorority, but I know people who are, and when you're living in a sorority, it's just like a girl's dorm. You're living, you know, with other girls, and there's often casual dressing, and, you know, you're living in close quarters. And the idea of a guy in a girl's private area is something that I think offends me. I don't have a daughter, but it would offend me if I had a daughter. And the truth is that I think these young women in Alabama did the right thing. They told this guy where to go because he's not a girl, and that was the whole point of the article. So cheers for the young women in Alabama. On Friday, we wrote, I'm getting my days mixed up because I had them lined up. So on Friday, we wrote a post called Cheney used to be the most dangerous man. And this is because at one time for the Democrats, former Vice President Cheney was, you know, he was the danger man. He was the one, the most dangerous man in the world. I'm sure you remember going back to when he and Bush were in the White House, you know, all the crazy stuff about Dick Cheney, and they made a movie about how dangerous he was and all of that. Well, now his daughter, Liz, is now saying that former President Trump is the most dangerous man. And look, I understand she's angry about what he said about her father, and I can understand that. I'll cut her some slack on that. But Liz Cheney went crazy the other way, too. And that's the reason that she lost that election. So, frankly, Donald Trump is not the most dangerous man in the United States. Dick Cheney was not the most dangerous man in the United States. Those are just hyperbolic statements that people make that make absolutely no sense. But it is amusing that Liz Cheney is now hanging around with people who used to think her father was the most dangerous man in the world and who didn't want to certify her father's election back in 2004. And those are the people she's hanging around with. And she's also doing the work of Nancy Pelosi. And that's what really killed her in Wyoming. That's in my opinion, that was the breaking point. That was the what really hurt her in Wyoming, her association with Nancy Pelosi. Nancy Pelosi is not popular in Wyoming. Why should she be? She is she stands against everything that they have in Wyoming. On Saturday, we ran a post about the FBI saying that it appears that some people, they hate Trump so much. Some people hate Trump so much that they want to kill the FBI. They want to destroy the FBI by politicizing the FBI. And that's a terrible thing, because the FBI for years was one of the most respected organizations in the American political system. You know, I grew up watching that FBI show, and, you know, we all respected the FBI. We should respect the FBI. The FBI has been a wonderful organization over the years. But here during the Trump years, it became very politicized. There was a little group of people inside the FBI who wanted to kill Trump so badly. They wanted to destroy Trump's presidency so badly that they were willing to destroy the FBI. And that's why I believe very strongly that the FBI needs a cleanup at the top. I'm not talking about the men and women who are doing the job in the streets and going out and fighting crime. I'm not talking about those people. Those are good people. But I am talking about the leadership. I think whether it's Director Wray or just about everybody around them, they need to go. They need to go, and new people need to be put in the FBI, because the situation in the FBI is simply not acceptable. Well, and that takes us to today's post over at the American Thinker. And that's about this young woman, Brittany, who is currently in jail in Russia for having broken Russian law. I mean, whatever you may think of Russia, she did break the law in Russia. And look, the Russians are obviously using her for political reasons, but she did break the law. So they're going to put her in jail for 9 years. I don't think she'll be there 9 years. But I think the purpose of my post today, or the message of my post, was that I think Brittany should sit back and think a little bit about some of the things that she said about the United States, and some of the many, many, many times that she would not want to salute the American flag. Because I think she's getting a taste, a very clear-cut taste of the advantages that she has as an American citizen. Had she been arrested in the United States, she would have been treated a lot different than how she's being treated in Russia. So I hope she comes back soon. I think she will. I don't think she'll be there 9 years. So when she comes back, I hope she tells everybody how fortunate she is to be back in the United States. And I hope she tells all her basketball players that she's hanging around with that she's not going to be criticizing the United States anymore. Because you know what? The United States is a pretty good place to live. And one thing about the United States is that we do have due process, and they don't have that in Russia, as Brittany is obviously learning. So there you have it, a little summary of my post from last week. I can only tell you that we write them every day. We enjoy writing them, and we enjoy talking about them, and I certainly enjoy your comments. Like, we got a comment here from Sally, from Daniel, from Eric. Thank you so much for putting that on here. We always enjoy hearing from you. And over at the American Thinker, I get a lot of comments over there too. And that's a lot of fun. You know, sometimes the comments are good, sometimes they're critical, but that's what happens when you post an opinion. Not everybody's going to agree with you, but the important thing is that we're talking and we're engaging in dialogue when it comes to our way of thinking. I mean, we cannot all think alike, but we can certainly respectfully talk to each other and disagree with each other. We'll be chatting with our friend Bill Katz, the editor of Urgent Agenda, on Monday. We're going to get into a lot of topics, especially the situation with President Trump and the raid at his home. We're going to continue talking about that on Monday. Thank you for listening. Thank you for your time, and thank you for all the comments. And I hope you have a wonderful rest of your Sunday. And we'll talk to you the next time we do one of these videos, which is going to be on Mondays. So bye-bye, everybody. We'll talk to you later.